welcome to Trinity. We're glad you're here.
You, Pastor Perry Schafalker. A bulletin indicates a little bit about me. I did tell one thing that isn't true, and so since we're doing confession soon, I'll do mine before the service. I had our anniversary date wrong. My wife says it's the 9th, it's not the 10th that our granddaughter was born on our wedding anniversary. So I've corrected that, I've confessed, and I'm sure you've forgiven me. And so we can move on now in peace. Good to be here with you, and we sing our first song, Stand Up for Jesus, 660. Would you rise as we stand and voice our great faith in our great and gracious God?
Stand up, stand up.
203. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infant mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the introit, and we speak it responsively by half verses. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish in us every virtue, and bring to completion every good intent, that we may grow in grace and bring forth the fruit of good works through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the first two scripture reading. This is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost in the church year. The Old Testament reading is Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 2 and 6 to 9. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. And then after a few verses, the author Moses continues in talking to us about the food for the soul, how God provides for us and what he expects of us. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. We speak responsively by half verses, the gradual. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The epistle reading is Paul's letter in Scripture to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And this is also, later in the service, a portion of our message from Ephesians. Would you rise for the Alleluia verse and the gospel reading?
Alleluia. Alleluia.
were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We profess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, 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 begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our sermon hymn 664, Fight the Good Fight.
Thank you.
Friends of our risen and ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus. My sermon theme this morning is living with confidence. I shared that with somebody once, and they said, boy, I really need that. And my guess is that you would probably have a similar thought as you reflect back on some situations, some difficulties, some problems in your life. Boy, I really need that. That is confidence. Confidence is so important in our lives, and yet it's difficult to grasp, to have in our lives. There are so many obstacles to living with confidence on our job, in our families, as well as in our personal lives. Temptations, fears, obstacles of one kind or another, discouragements. How can we overcome them to have confidence? I came across the name of someone who sort of exuded confidence. And that was Ed McMahon. Now, some of you younger folks may not know him, but he was an entertainment on the Johnny Carson show. How many of you remember him? How many are old enough to remember him? Okay. He always seemed to be a confident person to me, but that was not always the case in his life, especially when he was a youngster and when he was in school. This is what he says. I went to 15 different schools before I finished high school. You see, my father was a fundraiser, and we were constantly traveling. Consequently, I would often be in a school where no one knew me, and that was a tough situation. You know how cruel people can be to strangers. Now, one of the problems that he encountered with other students was his accent as he traveled around. They would ridicule him and make fun of him and saying he talked funny. Well, his father said something to him at a young age that was, he says, very beneficial for him to at least give the appearance of confidence. He says, his father said to him, always walk in a place like you belong, and most people will believe you do. Always walk in a place like you belong, and most people will believe you do. He says it worked. I moved from a naturally shy wallflower type to being very aggressive. I really got on top of things. Well, this morning we're here with this topic of confidence to learn not only from Ed McMahon and maybe something he said and learned from his father that may help us, but especially to learn from God and his word and what the apostle Paul said that hopefully will help us. Now, I was told that printed on the back of your bulletin is the text. If you would turn to it, we're going to read this text together, Ephesians 6, 16 to 18a. Let's read it. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. These words were written by the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And the images that he has of a Roman guard or soldier were probably that of a soldier who was guarding him. And you see how he brings this into a spiritual realm and our faith and lessons for life. And I'd like to focus then on four of those images, actually three that he has, and then another one he refers to not related to Roman armor, prayer. First, take up the shield of faith. Now, the Roman armor of the soldier included a leather covering over wood, this shield. And it was dipped in water before the battle so that it could extinguish, hopefully, all those flaming darts that were hurled at the Roman soldier. Luther once warned, if you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. And that would probably include every worship service, Bible class, or Sunday school class. We saw these troubles coming at us, these threats of a Roman soldier. We would be willing to fly, to come quickly into God's house and into his presence. Dr. Henry Norris Russell. Henry Norris Russell was a famous a professor, astronomer at Princeton University. He once gave a lecture in which he talked on the Milky Way and the stars. It's millions of stars around the Milky Way. And he explained that many of them are far larger than the sun. And there are many even beyond that we can't see, these many stars. When he finished, a troubled woman came to him and asked, Dr. Russell, if our world is so little and the universe is so great, can we really believe that God pays an attention to us human beings? The great world and our littleness, does God care? This is how Dr. Russell answered, Dr. Norris. That all depends, madam, on how big a God you believe in. Dr. Norris believed in a big God. We believe in a huge God who does care about us, as well as having created a vast universe for us. One illustration of strength that came to mind is that of a commercial on TV when epoxy glue came out. This epoxy glue was said to be extremely strong. In fact, it was advertised with a 200-and-some-pound football player attached from his helmet with epoxy glue to a goalpost, hanging there because of the strength of that epoxy glue. Well, it's just a picture, but our God is so strong that nothing can split us, sever us from his love. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, I am convinced that neither death nor life or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can ever cause him to lose his grip on us. That's the shield of faith. That's what gives us confidence. Number two, take the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier's bronze helmet protected him from injuries and potentially even death. God's salvation in Jesus protects us from difficulties, in difficulties here on this earth, from evil, and finally, ultimately, eternal death. The hymn writer, Rock of Ages, was Augustus Toplady. And he estimated that by the age of 20, a person had committed 630 sins. By the age of 50, the person had committed, he says, 1.5 billion sins. That's his estimation. Now, I don't know what kind of a mathematician this August top lady was, but I know that I've sinned a lot, and I need a lot of forgiveness for numerous sins. And possibly you're in that situation. Thank God that we know that Jesus bore sins, however many sins we've committed or will commit in our lifetime, on the cross and satisfied God's demand for justice, punishment for our sins through his Son. And of this we can be sure, our Savior's love for us is no hit and miss thing. There aren't some sins he can forgive and others that he won't forgive. Now I love you, now I won't or don't. His love is constant through all the changing scenes of life. That's what the Gospels in Scripture assure us of. That's what Jesus assures us of, his unchanging, never failing love. It's kind of like a plus sign, guaranteeing our salvation. Because of his death at Calvary's cross, guaranteeing our salvation every day of our lives. That's the helmet of salvation. That's what gives the believer confidence. Third, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Martin Luther affirms this. Whenever a person reads the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. So you have this correlation between the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And then I found a few more quotes from what Luther says of the benefits of that Word Spirit gift to us. It is the power and the might of God through this instrument, that is the Word Spirit. Through this instrument, God deals with us, does everything, and offers us all his treasures. And elsewhere, Luther says, what a precious thing it is to have the Word of God on our side in everything we do. And finally, Luther states triumphantly, God assures us that we shall fare well and meet with success if we diligently read, hear, speak, and keep his word. That means we shall win through the word. Amen. Now, if that doesn't give confidence, the Word, the Spirit, and those promises of the Word and the Spirit that Luther reminds us of, I don't know what will. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that gives us confidence. And lastly, there is prayer. As I said, it wasn't a part of the Roman armor, but Paul advises it for daily living, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, in our weakness, the Spirit of God leads us in our prayer. Sometimes Paul says it might just be a groan because we're so devastated by suffering or grief or problems. But the Spirit leads us in praying. And that was a comfort to Paul as he was in prison, to know that the community of faith was praying for him. That gave him encouragement. It gave him strength. And that's the same for us, the community of faith. As we gather to pray for others, that it will give us strength, give them strength, give them encouragement. We shouldn't let our troubles become wedges that separate us from God and one another, from Christians, from worship, from fellowship. But rather, someone has said we should view them, our troubles, as golden twine by which he ties us more closely together with God and his people. That's the power of prayer. Knowing whom we believe, knowing to whom we go, and that gives us confidence, even in our doubts and our distresses. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, once more, and the people of God said, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting with him in heaven. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. If you would like to rise and are able to do so, please do so. Almighty God, we ask you to be near us with your word and spirit, as St. Paul advised and as he experienced. Guide and lead us, that when we stray from your commands, your will, you draw us back to you and your wonderful blessings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your Holy Spirit, protect us this day from the assaults of the devil, and this week, and the rest of the days of our lives. Equip us with the full armor of God, that we may be clothed in truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, bearing the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, your powerful word. Keep us in safety and security from the forces of the evil one and our sinful nature. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all knowledge and wisdom, help us to know you and your love. Bless pastors and teachers, parents and grandparents, Reverend Hans Trinkline and his family in South Korea, also the Southern Illinois District Circuit Congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran and Farron, and all who teach the faith, that the gospel may continue to spread throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you are the strength of the weak and the refuge of the powerless. Be with your people who are struggling with doubt and temptation. Grant assurance, as you did doubting Paul, Peter, Thomas, along with other faithful men and women in the history of the church who were confronted likewise with doubts. Give your power, grace, and love to them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of life, bring health and healing to your people. We pray for everyone in need of your mercy today, including those in care facilities: Theretta, Ferris, Bill, Helena, Francis, Esther, Bessie, Brian. Those recovering from surgery: Orville, Roy, Larry. Those with ongoing health concerns: Marvin, Lorna, Amy, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all cancer patients. Strengthen them with your word of grace, that they find strength and comfort in the midst of their suffering and pain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of our lives, we thank you for another birthday this week to Marty, Grace, Aaron, Beulah, Renee, Kurt, Keith, Pam, and Janice. As you have cared for each one of them in their birth to this day, we pray for your ongoing care for them through family, friends, church, and especially your word and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the marriage union, bless the marriages of those observing anniversaries this week: Wayne and Jackie, Randy and Angie, Rick and Janice, Robert and Janet, Doug, and Shannon, as you have led them to make their vows of committed love to each other, continue to work through their marriages with all they need for ongoing care and support for them and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the harvest, we pray for the crops and fields of hay, corn, beans, and other produce. We pray that you would continue to give the blessing of timely rains and moderate sun, that the earth would yield a bountiful harvest in due time. Give safety and protection to all who work in the fields from now through the harvest season. Lord, in your mercy. God of our nation, we pray for our country, which is dealing with so many major crises in the attacks and pullout from Afghanistan, the massive and devastating forest fires out west, the cleanup from tropical storms in the east and northeast, along with storm damage elsewhere, the approaching hurricane in the south, the oppressive heat, COVID-19 breakouts and illnesses and even deaths, and all other tragic national events impacting people in our country as well as those of other nations. We ask that you bring relief and healing, justice and mercy. Turn the hearts of men and women to work for peaceful solutions to problems. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, be with those serving in our nation's armed forces, Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Kobe, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and any others known to us. Provide them protection and provisions for all of their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your never-failing forgiveness and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, you may be seated and we'll gather the offerings. Would you rise as we continue with the service of the sacrament on page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth are full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna in the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took after supper, and when he had said a prayer of thanks to his heavenly Father, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the Lord's table. Receive the benediction or the blessing of communion. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in faith through our loving, forgiving Savior to life everlasting. Soul and body, go with his peace. Your sins are forgiven. Would you rise for the song of thanksgiving? For I have seen the glory of your redeeming Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We conclude with the singing of our last hymn. The last hymn of our service is 794, The Lord My God Be Praised. You may be seated. I have no announcements. I always encourage people in congregations to read the announcements in the bulletin, but maybe there are some others. Does anyone else have an announcement, perhaps not in the bulletin or an update? If not, then go with God's peace.